This is West Yorkshire Sport Daily. I'm Catherine Hannah here at Elland Road tonight, right through till 10:30. Full match commentary of Leeds against Chesterfield coming up. Keep your Sabutio memories coming in tonight as well. We'll be finding out more a little bit later on how you can get involved in the Northern qualifiers for the Sabutio Challenge Cup, which is coming up here in Leeds on Sunday. Because of that, your Sabutio memories. I had a tweet from Hannah earlier who says, I had the job of ironing the Sabutio pitch in our house. I was always rubbish at playing. And on Twitter as well, at Groundhop UK, he says, we had a league, but we chucked one kid out as he tried to play It's My Ball if you deliberately win a throw. What? No. Out. Banished from the league. Keep your memories coming in. 81333 on text, or start your text message with WYS, or on Twitter at WYS Daily. Now, I'm joined up on the gantry here at Elland Road tonight by two people who know and love this club particularly well. One of them, a cult hero among Leeds fans and recently named in the top 100 greatest Leeds United players of all time. He had two spells at Elland Road, captained the club, won Leeds Player of the Year award, scored more than 50 Leeds United goals and a second division title winner's medal to his name too. Absolutely fearless, no holds barred approach to football, and now there is a book, warts and all, about his life and his career, and he is Ian Baird. And the book, Baird, he's going to get you, written with Ian, along with lifelong Leeds fan Mark Bracker, who's helped him put it all together. Gentlemen, thank you both ever so much for coming along. Ian, first of all, how are you? Welcome back to Elland Road. How long is it since you've been back?
I came here last season when we were playing up here. I came up and just met a few old friends. But previous to that, I think probably about 10 years.
Nice to be back?
Yeah, it is nice to be back. I mean, you know, the pitch looks fantastic. The ground, you know, like I say, if you ever played for Leeds, it's a fantastic stadium, and just wish I was young enough to be playing tonight.
And Mark, thank you for joining us as well. You've helped Ian write this book, Baird, He's Gonna Get You. When you first approached him about it, tell us what he said.
He thought I were John Stiles taking the mickey out of him. I think Ian were quite surprised, to be honest, and to be fair, I were quite surprised when Ian got back to me. I sent an email to Eastleigh, where Ian was managing, for the attention of the club secretary, and within a day or two Ian had replied, and we started the conversations about what we were going to do, when we were going to do it, and yeah, it's just been brilliant.
And what's it been like then over the past few months, getting it all together?
Fantastic. It's been hard work. There's not many mornings I ain't seen 2, 3, 4 o'clock in the morning, but especially the last few weeks with the publisher's deadlines. But to sort of meet Ian, I obviously knew all about his time at Leeds as a supporter, but to know, you know, the stuff that goes on behind the scenes, his involvement with other clubs, the speaking to the players he's played with, John Sheridan, Brendan Ormsby, Bobby Davison, just been absolutely fantastic.
And Ian, you had some really definite ideas about what you wanted this book to be like, because you've read a few football autobiographies and didn't really rate them, haven't you?
Yeah, I think like a lot of ex-footballers, you do read books. In the end, they become boring because, you know, it's like, oh, we played so-and-so, 1-3-2, and we did this and we did that. And when Mark approached me, he's right what I said. I did think it was John Stiles taking the mickey, because he's renowned for that. And I said to him, you know, if I am going to do it, I'd rather it be straightforward and honest and try being something different.
So it is a bit of a warts and all account of your life, your career. Were you a bit worried about any of the stories? Have you had to speak to anybody and warn them?
Well, if I'm honest, it can't be all the warts. Otherwise, there'd be too many libelous things going around. But I tried to be as honest as I possibly could. You know, especially with Mark's help, Mark's checked out everything and made sure that, you know, certain stories that I've told and, you know, and the way Mark's approached it, which is a different way, and used and spoke to a lot of people that I played with, and a lot of managers and a lot of friends. So it's sort of based really on a different kind of format. But, you know, he checked it out with me and he checked it out with them, and it's all gone to print. So hopefully it all goes well.
You've got so many people to talk about and fantastic characters that have influenced your career, not least when you arrived here at Leeds for the first time. You were managed by the great Billy Bremner. I mean, what was it like meeting him for the first time?
Well, actually, it was Eddie Gray who signed me. And, you know, as I said to Mark, sort of, we were from the era of the sort of the 70s, sort of growing up and, you know, seeing all the great Leeds players, etc. And then for me to, I mean, my brother actually did support Leeds when we were kids, and for me to come to Elland Road and be met by Eddie Gray and then consequently by Billy Bremner, etc., Norman Hunter used to come in training, Peter Lorimer, Frank Gray, you know, it was a fantastic experience. And the biggest thing for me was they were great players, but you didn't realise how great they were. To see them in training over on Fullerton Park when we were all wearing long studs and Billy Bremner had his Adidas Sambas on, probably being the best player out there as well.
What was it like to be managed, as you say, firstly by Eddie and then by Billy Bremner?
Well, two different characters. I mean, Eddie, as everybody knows, is a fantastic guy, a very, very nice bloke. Billy was a little bit different, but my two experiences of both the managers were absolutely fantastic and they treated me brilliantly.
What do you remember, Mark, as a Leeds fan of Ian's first spell with the club?
My first memory of Ian was the goal he scored against Oxford, which was his first one at Elland Road. And I seem to remember that year Oxford were running away with the league. They had John Aldridge and I think Billy Hamilton up front, and they'd already give Leeds a thumping at their place. And Oxford came here one Saturday late in the season, and Ian scored a bit of a solo goal at the Kop end, and it was just bedlam. And it were like, you know, that young Leeds side that Eddie put together, as good as they were light, they were a bit lightweight. And you know, Ian came in and gave Leeds a bit of muscle. And people have told me, Eddie's told me, and Tony Forthrop's told me, who was Eddie's chief scout, and Jimmy Lumsden's told me, if Ian would have been brought in at that Christmas, that the sure Leeds would have gone up that year.
Was that always your intention to have that style of play about you, that you know you were fearless and would get stuck in? But that's not to take away from the fact that you were a good footballer as well. But, you know, was that something that you were keen to bring to the pitch every time you stepped out there?
I think, you know, from following football when I was a kid, you know, the least a professional footballer can give is 100%. And that's what I always tried to do, is give it as best as I possibly could. And hopefully everything else would fit in. And I was very, very lucky to play with some very, very good players throughout my career. But probably one of the biggest regrets is that Leeds couldn't keep that side together, because if you went through 1 to 11, you know, Mervyn Day, Dennis Irwin, Andy Linigan, Neil Aspin, Frank Gray, Scott Sellers, John Sheridan, Tommy Wright, George McCluskey, you know, and Terry Phelan was just coming through, and there was a hell of a lot of good young players, but due to certain circumstances, the football club could never keep hold of those, and for one reason or another, they all went their separate ways and all ended up having fantastic careers. And you think to yourself, well, you know, what if?
What might have been, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, from what Mark said, you were clearly, you know, just appealed to the fans from day one with your style of football and the commitment that you showed to it. So did you kind of get that sense that you were becoming a bit of a hero around this neck of the woods?
I think it would take a stupid man not to realise, you know, if you come and play at Leeds United, it's, you know, not especially at home, but even away, they've got fantastic support. And, you know, the minimum you should give is 100%. And that's what I tried to do. And, you know, fortunately for me, it worked for me here. And, you know, I still got to give myself a shake that Mark even wanted to write a book about me. And then there seemed so much interest about it.
You see, I find that staggering. You say, I've got it here. I've got a copy, which I may well get you to sign later. But you are named in the 100 greatest Leeds United players of all time, and yet you can't quite seem to get your head around that.
Well, I mean, you've only got to look at the fantastic players that have donned the white shirt, and to be put in that 100, you know, for me it's a fantastic honour, and you know, it makes me proud that the Leeds fans actually feel that way about me
and continue to feel that way about you as well. I mean, because it was the late 80s, there were some real lean times at Elland Road. It was tough being a Leeds fan during that era, Mark.
It was, yeah, and I mean, to be fair, you know, other than the stadium's been developed, it's pretty much how it is now. You know, the club were, you know, money were hard to come by, and, you know, no disrespect to the players we've got now, but the side that Billy Bremner put together in 86-7 that got to the playoff final in the FA Cup semi-final, I don't think there's anybody today at the club that would have got in that team. And like Ian says, you know, they all went on to have great careers and win FA Cups and other things. And, you know, I mean, you look at sort of John Sheridan, Ian Snodding, who'd gone by them, and Ian Baird, and they were the three people that gave everybody hope. You know, we haven't really got that at the moment. But, you know, other than the feel-good factor around the club, and Brian McDermott's obviously, he says all the right things and looks like he's going to do a good job. But, you know, it is... I think the 80s... I enjoy the 80s better than I enjoy today.
Interesting. We'll talk more about Leeds today a little bit later on. As you say, Ian, that team of players did get broken up for various reasons and you ended up leaving Leeds. Was that difficult to have to leave the club at that time?
Well, I mean, I mean, I left sort of, I think I left in the February to March of the year that we won the second division title. And to be honest with you, it was a stupid mistake and petulant decision from my point of view. Is that, you know, when Howard came in, he made massive changes, all for the better. And, you know, I managed to play, I think, 83 straight games on the bounce room, and then all of a sudden he goes and signs Lee Chapman, and me being a footballer, and footballers can believe in me, be selfish. I wasn't happy about that, and I went to see him, and he said, look, don't be stupid. He said, you know, fight for your shirt. I brought Chappie in to do X, Y and Z, which he was proved right. And I said, no, I'm not having any of it. And within 15 minutes, I had a phone call from Bruce Riott from Middlesbrough, and you know, it was a petulant decision from my point of view, and you know, a wrong decision that I made in my career. But you live and die by decisions. You know, I missed what happened, and I'm sure I would have still been about when they won the first division title. But you know, that's football, and that's life, and that's the wrong decision that I made.
Yeah, that's it. We can all be wise with hindsight, yeah, though, can't we? And have you patched things up with Howard Wilkinson since?
I've only seen him twice, and Howard's Howard, isn't he? You know, he's never the most of a buoyant of characters, isn't he? But I've seen him twice, and he's always been polite, and I've been polite to him, and I hold no grudges against him whatsoever. He was the one who said to me, look, I don't want you to go, and it was me being stupid, and I made the decision to go.
Ultimately, though, you did still get your winner's medal, so...
He was very, very good to me, to be fair, Howard. I mean, I played 33 games that year, so I was due a championship medal, and he even said to me, he said, if we do go up, which I think we will do, he said, you'll get your promotion bonus, which, you know, fair play to me. He didn't need to do that to me, and, you know, I appreciate what he did.
You've already listed some of the players that you played alongside here at Elland Road. From the characters that you remember, who are the people that really stick out in your mind that might make one or two appearances in your book?
I think sort of when I first joined, you know, socially I used to go out with Shares and Tommy Wright and Dennis Irwin and Scott Sellers because we were like the young lads, and then like Snod signed the in the pre-season, and I was banned from driving then, and Snod used to pick me up, and you know, we ended up being very, very close mates, had some fantastic times together, and he was a great player, and unfortunately for Snod, you know, injuries prevented him from getting, in my opinion, at least 50 England caps.
Did you get yourselves into a bit of hot water every now and again?
Oh, only every Saturday.
So where did you go then? Were you out sort of after a match, out having a bit of a party in Leeds?
We used to go out in Leeds, and Snod was from Doncaster. We used to go out in Doncaster, and I used to live in a little village near Rotherham called Thorpe Esley. And we used to go there and sort of get ourselves in a little bit of bother. He was a fiery character, Snod, that's for sure.
Really?
Yeah. Very fiery, yeah.
Yeah, so a bit of wine, women and song then.
Oh, you can't mention the women.
Does that side of things come up in the book, though? Do you mention any of, you know, the...
I haven't read it.
Mark, is it in there?
There's one or two stories, but they're in there with Ian's approval. David Hall's given me some great information, which is in the book. But, yeah, you'll have to buy a copy.
Intriguing.